Take out our Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to be continuing our series, Strengthening Our Marital and Moral Integrity. We're looking at some strategies that help us to do just that. And we're talking about a love and how we have to embrace that and apply that. Last time we began our examination of our second critical strategy. And that would be to monitor our critical gauges to make sure that we're not running out of fuel. The first one is the spiritual gauge. We looked at that one last week, and how am I doing spiritually? And we have to be committed to the spiritual disciplines of, we said last time, solitude, which is quiet time alone with God, and sacrifice, and studying God's Word, and praying, supplication, and service. All of that would be something we have to do on a regular basis. Now, I love that verse in Ephesians 5:15 where Paul tells us that we're to be redeeming the time because the days are evil. And what he's saying there is we need to really use the time that God has given us wisely. We need to redeem it, those tiny snatches of time, use them wisely, use them properly. And so this is where the discipline comes in. There can be that early solitude where we get up in the morning and we talk to the Lord. We had those moments like that, and you can just think about all the different times where, you know, you can be driving up the road with your car all alone, just you and the Lord. You can pray at night when you hit your pillow before you fall asleep. You can pray and commune with God. But early in the morning, the first thing is so wonderful to be able to take that time with the Lord. Like somebody said, is it good morning, Lord, or morning, or Lord, it's morning? Yeah, it ought to be good morning, Lord. The first thing comes out of our lips. David said this in Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee, my flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land. So that first gauge is vital, and these other two won't help us much if we don't get the first one in line. It needs to be full if we're going to glorify our Lord in our marriage and in our ministry. All right, we're going to go ahead and pick up this next one tonight, the second gauge. And this is the physical gauge, and this is the one where you have to ask, okay, how am I doing physically? Now, we're going to get down to some practical stuff here, some applications. There will be some scripture we want to take a look at as well. But here is where you get down to where the rubber hits the road. I want us to look at this tonight. If we push our bodies too hard over an extended period of time, we will experience a physical breakdown. That's just going to happen. And that right there is universally acknowledged, but it's also universally ignored. I mean, everybody knows that, and they experience that, but they still don't seem to take the steps necessary to avoid that, okay? Over the years, I mean, I know you've heard this before. I've heard it before from Christians. They'll take that chorus literally that says, "Let me burn out for thee, O Lord," and they do burn out, and you know, I remember hearing some saints say that old expression, well, bless God, I'd rather burn out than rust out. But here's the question. How about not doing either one of those, burning out or rusting out? You know, the fact is, neither one of those is a good option. When you burn out, you're useless. You can't do anything else. And you're on a shelf, and you're not serving God like you should be. Rusting out is worse, but you know, people sing that chorus, you know, let me burn out, and they make that kind of a comment because it sounds spiritual, but I don't really believe it is spiritual at all, because we have a body that God gave us, a temple of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to take care of it the best we can. Now, you know, there's problems, of course, we can't avoid because of the sin curse, the curse of sin, but we have to be careful and make sure that we do pace ourselves. You've heard it said so often, and it's true, that Christian life is not a sprint. It's not a 100-yard dash. It is a marathon. And when you're running a marathon, you have to pace yourself. If you don't, you're going to burn out early and you're done. You know, you'll be on the side of the road. So they know how to pace themselves there. I would give an illustration here that the pastor who actually did our wedding ceremony for my wife and I over 36 years ago. He was a tremendous pastor, preacher, Sword of the Lord editor for years, later an evangelist. He passed away It was quite a few years ago. I think the late 90s. He was 60 years of age. He died of prostate cancer. God used him in a great way in his ministry when he was here. But before he died, he was close to my wife and her family. He actually went to the church there. It's where they were saved years ago. And he admitted to my wife's mother, who went to see him at the hospital, he had done a lot of research. And from his research, he believed that he had developed the cancer because of his immune system had broken down. He had a rigorous schedule. He talked about how he didn't eat right. Yeah, always too much fast food, always on the road. I remember him joking. I heard him in a message one time joking, I have arches in my back. I've been to McDonald's so many times. And, he wasn't getting enough sleep. He had to drive through the night a lot of times to get to his next speaking engagement. Drunk lots of coffee to stay awake. And he believed that from all that he studied, that it all gradually wore him down physically, causing the immune system to break down. Quite possible. What he was saying is true. Now, Paul was close to having the same thing happen to him. I want you to listen to what he said here. Look at our text in 2 Corinthians 7. Let's look at verse 5. He says, "For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side, without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those who are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus." So, interesting couple of verses right there. Now, when he says we had no, our bodies had no rest, that word rest there is the Greek word avasis, and it means simply no relaxation, no rest, no relief. Okay, and here's the interesting thing about that. That verb is in the perfect tense in the Greek, which means it was a fixed condition. So it had happened already. He was literally burned out physically. And that's what he's talking about there. So that's pretty tough. But then he said this, "But we were afflicted." And that word afflicted comes from the Greek word phlipsis, which means crushing. And it has the picture and idea of claustrophobic pressures. And they were afflicted like that. They were crushed. They were pressured, he said, at every turn. So this is interesting when you look and see what Paul was going through here. And let's take a look at the next thing he said here. He said, fighting. There was this fighting going on without, okay, from outside. There were these fightings, and that's the Greek word mekai, which means quarrels or strifes or conflicts. And it is plural. You can notice that here, meaning it wasn't just a one-time thing with these deals. It was a never-ending battle that Paul was engaged in. No relief from it. And then he said there was fighting, not only fighting without, but there was fear within. The word fear there is interesting too. It's a word that comes from a Greek word phoboi. Now that sounds familiar, doesn't it? And it's where we get the word phobia from. So, and again, it's plural. So there wasn't just one or maybe not just one single thing that he had that he was fearful of. There were many fears. There were many phobias that Paul had to constantly endure within him. So you got the fightings from without, you got the fears from within that were going on. And then he said, "But God comforts the downcast." And the word downcast is a word that just simply means depressed. It's the Greek word tapeneos, which means simply to be brought low. And the idea there is you're low in spirit. You're depressed in your spirit. Okay, so one of the things Paul is doing in this text is he's establishing the relationship between the physical exhaustion that he was experiencing in the middle of intensive ministry activities and depression, and how there was a connection, a link there. And there are occasions when the body rules. It just takes, it takes over. And you want to do one thing, your body's saying no. It's not going to let you. And that's basically what Paul was going through right here. Okay? And So that's why, you know, he was very, very happy and thankful when Titus came along. So here's Paul. He's getting a little depressed in his spirit and close to being burned out in his body. And that's why he was so thankful for Titus. He came along in the nick of time to cheer him up. God used Titus to give comfort and encouragement to Paul. So that was a wonderful thing that he had. And I've read some things from different authors before, and they called this guy, Titus was that way, and they called it the Titus touch. You know, we hear the Midas touch, the Titus touch is what we need. Somebody just to step in there and encourage us when things are going rough and you're down in your spirit and you're exhausted in your body. Now, the truth of the matter is, if we're not physically fit, we're not going to be offering the Lord all that we can. We might get about two-thirds of the energy we have, the potential of giving. So this is why it is important. Okay, if you're down physically, it does affect you emotionally. We'll get to that in the next one. It actually can hurt you spiritually if you let it. But it's not good when you're not giving your all, because here's what the Lord says. We are to be wholly available to Him. The word there is W-H-O-L-L-Y. And it just means with your all. Okay? And that doesn't just mean we'll be a spiritually alert and astute, but we're going to be physically fit and the best we can. And this is what this is saying in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Okay, some people, this is important that you make sure that spiritual gauge is full, that it's where it needs to be, but then they don't think anything about the physical gauge. Spiritual is it, and I don't have to worry about the physical. And they don't eat right, and they get obese, and then they got health problems, and they're not able to do what they ought to be doing spiritually. So this gauge is important. Here's what God says about it. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, he says, Paul says this, "And the very God of peace sanctify you," here's the word, "wholly, and I pray God your," now watch this, "your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So until the Lord comes back, he's saying we need to give our all, you know, with our soul, with our mind, with our heart, and with our body. Just give it all to the Lord, is what he's saying there. Now, we know this from our study of Scripture, that it's true that the body is God's temple. 1 Corinthians 6:19 teaches that. Our body is God's tool. Romans 6:13 speaks of it as an instrument, like a tool in the hand of God. I like this one. It's God's treasure house. 2 Corinthians 4:7, it talks about that, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The earthen vessels are body, and we have the treasure there. So it's God's treasure house. We're the treasure, the spirit within us. And then here's another interesting thing about the body. God refers to it as his trophy. In other words, his crowning act of creation. Now, where do you get that from? Well, glad you asked. Here's what the Bible says in Genesis 2, verse 7. When God formed Adam from the dust of the ground, it talks about that in Genesis 2, verse 7. The word "formed" in that verse is an interesting word. It is the Hebrew word yatsar, and it refers to this. It means the skill of a craftsman, a work of art. And that's what it's saying about Adam's body. Now, it was perfect before he fell. That's, you know, when that fall came was when the body began to break down. But until that, it was a perfect body, and it was like a work of art. The skill of the craftsman did this, and so that's interesting, you know. And that's why I put it down there. It's like the crowning act of God's creation. All right, so here's the thing. Now we know that it's equally true that our body is temporal. That means our body is bound by time and space and matter. Here's an important statement I want to make here. In our fallen condition, our body is subject to the same physical realities and the same human limitations that govern all mortals in a fallen world. Okay, we don't get a pass just because we're a Christian when it comes to our body. We have to take care of it. Our body is subject to those same physical rules that everybody has. We're far from being a physical Superman, right? I mean, we're not even close to that. So This is the only body that we're ever going to have. We've heard this before, but it's true. So we need to take care of it. We need to be balanced here. Now, when I say that, I'm talking about being balanced. When I mentioned that we need to, there are times we need to get rest, and Paul didn't have that, but you need to have that rest. Well, we're not saying, okay, go to the other extreme and be lazy. Okay, we're not talking about that. We have to have a balance here. And that is one extreme, which is to be lazy. That's a poor testimony when a believer carries that laziness over to his workplace or over to his church. I've known that in the past. We had, not here that I can think of, but there were times in the past. I mean, I'd get word back, and this guy, is he a member of your church? And he sloughs off at work. He, the boss isn't looking, he's sloughing off. It's not a good testimony. Okay, so we have to be careful there. We don't want to just skate by at work, and some of the, they don't do much at church, but fill a space on a pew. That's not good. That's one extreme. The other extreme, though, would be what? To be a workaholic, and to do just work with reckless abandon and totally neglect your body. Don't even think about it, and overwork to the point where you actually hurt yourself physically. Now, when we break this whole thing down, keeping our physical gauge full does have some things that it requires. And I want to, like I said, this is a practical lesson tonight, but these are things we need to think about and be reminded of, okay, to keep that gauge where it needs to be. I believe we have to keep these requirements. First one is this. We have to seek opportunities for exercise. And we ought to, of course, you ought to check with your physician about some of this. I realize that, when we get up there in years. But it is good to have, it may not be brisk the older you get, but, while you're younger still, you can have brisk walks and have goals there. I try to get out a couple miles a day. If you can't do anything else, any other exercise, walk. Walking is great. It is really great for your physical health. I read this one time that, I hope it's true, it's not the Bible, but it was a book I read. It said there are 300 muscles that go to work when we walk. I didn't know we had that many muscles in our body. So I'm not sure about that. Don't quote me. I'm not being dogmatic about that. But let's just say quite a few muscles go to work when we walk. Personally, I like to stretch a few more muscles on the golf course if I can ever find the time and my back holds up. But exercise is good. That's one requirement to keep that gauge where it needs to be on the physical gauge. I would say number two, we need to strive to eat properly. Like I said, that evangelist admitted it. Later on, he just was too busy, always on the road, and he just wasn't careful with this. A lot of fast food, junk food, and you got to be real careful about that. It'll catch up to you. It's sort of like the rubber on your tires. You don't see it right away, right? But after a while, so much wear and miles, and you don't see it happening, but the rubber's wearing off, right? And it gets to where, hey, I got to get some new tires. These things, I can see the steel poking through here. That's what happens to you when you eat the wrong food. You may get by for a while with McDonald's, but it will catch up to you. So when it comes to our diet, we need to eat right. And when we say we need to eat right, we're talking about both moderately and wisely. We should not be gluttonous and pig out. The Bible does have something to say about that. So we have to be real careful about that. Let all things be done how? The Bible says, in moderation. So we have to be moderate, and we also have to be wise about what we eat. And quite a few years ago, I did wise up and started reading the labels. That's not a bad thing, to read the labels and see what you're actually putting into your body. And then we need to slow down and taste our food as well. That'd be a good idea. And not to eat too fast, all right? And I think this is good too. I don't have it down here, but when we get older, we don't always get all the vitamins we need, the nutrients, whatever. And it is a good idea to take some daily vitamins and supplements to aid you in your physical well-being. So that's the second area. The third area, if you want to keep that gauge where it needs to be, on the physical gauge up there, we do have the purpose to get some adequate rest. Rest for our body. Sleep deprivation can prevent us from serving God wholly with all of our being. I realize this is a tough one. There's sometimes this stuff's out of your control. I know all about that one. But when you look at all three of these things we just touched on, they're physical disciplines that should become the norm in our marriage and our ministry journey. We have to be watching these things, okay? There will, of course, be some times there's exceptions to these things, and like I said, you had to check with your physician. But the fact is, we don't want to let the exceptions become the rule. We have to be sure that we can do it the best we can here. Now, I want to say this about what Paul has to say about this particular point in Timothy, 1 Timothy 4, 7, and 8. He basically said this, exercise, that means train yourself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise, he's talking about physical exercise there, profits little. I heard so many people quote that over there, but wait a minute, notice what it said. It is of some value. It does profit a little. Okay, but godliness is profitable, he said, unto all things. So what he's saying there is it is of a value in every way. It's not just a little value, it's a lot of value. So if you were looking at that text and really coming away with what he's saying, what is he really saying there? Well, on the ground of that text, I believe he's encouraging both the physical and the spiritual disciplines while he's putting the priority on the spiritual. So he didn't exclude the physical just by saying a little exercise. He included that, but the priority is on the spiritual exercises, those spiritual disciplines that we looked at last week. Okay? Now, I'll tell you what, just in light of that, I can't help but think when I make that statement, the first thing that came to my mind when I was preparing these notes was there's some Sundays I'm driving to church in the morning and here's somebody, you know, running or jogging up Vermilion. There's no way they're going to church, okay? It doesn't look like they're going to be in church that day. So what's important to that person? Well, they're putting a priority on the physical, right, and not the spiritual. Here's the Lord's day. We must keep in mind that the body is temporal. It is subject to, this, as I said, the same physical realities and human limitations that govern all people in a fallen world. We, as I said, we don't get a pass on this thing. If we don't keep these things, the things we're looking at here tonight, in their proper balance and make sure we take care of these things, it'll catch up to us, whether we're saved or not, whether a person's saved or not, it makes no difference. The fact is, we have some instructions from God on what we're to do. And God does want us to be good stewards and to take care even of our bodies. So we need to ask that question, how am I doing physically? Just one little lesson. That's all we're going to talk about, the physical gauge tonight. That's going to be it. We're going to take a whole lot more time. We took a lot of time with spiritual. We'll take more time with emotional gauge. But I think it is important. And we need to make sure that we're taking care of the one body God gives to us. So I'm going to stop there. We'll pick this back up next time, Lord willing. We're going to begin our examination of the third gauge, the emotional gauge. And that is a very important one if we're going to keep going forward and serve God and glorify God with our marriage and with our own life. Okay, let's go ahead and take out our